Hello, church family. My name is Marilyn Mitchell, and I'm the Women's Ministry Director for New Vision's Buchanan Campus. And today, in our Out of Context series, we get to delve into a passage that I really believe you have all heard at least part of, if you've not actually studied it deeply yourself. I believe it will ring familiar to your ears. So I will be reading Exodus 21, verses 23 through 25 in the English Standard Version. And it says this, "But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." Well, hopefully you're saying, yes, I do remember this eye for an eye thing. It is so commonly used. I mean, I've seen even in many secular movies, right, that this idea of an eye for an eye is used. But I would be curious to know if in your experience, you have ever heard that in a gentle or kind way versus a vengeance driven way. I think that it is human nature, and that in most cases that I've seen it used, either in personal life or on TV or movies or whatever else, it's generally used to excuse someone in their desire for vengeance or retaliation, right? Eric Bargerhoff wrote a book about some of these misused passages, and he tells the story as it relates to this passage that I just think is worth repeating. Many of you may have seen the movie The Princess Bride. It's an oldie but a goodie, so to speak. It's very bizarre, actually, but it's wonderful. It's got a lot of good one-liners. And in it, like a very summarized version, there is a man who throughout the entire movie is seeking vengeance on someone who killed his father. And ultimately he gets it. Okay. Like, spoiler alert, end of the story, he gets that. But what's really interesting is, you know, the whole movie, it builds, you hear him say over and over and over how he is prepared. He has rehearsed what's going to happen the day that he gets this vengeance. And so what it is, and you may now know these famous words, he says, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepare to die." Well, interestingly enough, Inigo gets his chance and he kills the man who killed his father. But it's interesting because in the movie, as it comes to a close, he tells his friend Wesley, also a main character in the movie, and this is a quote. He says, "It's very strange. I've been in the revenge business so long that now that it's over, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life." And you know, the movie's meant to be funny. It's obviously it's a movie, it's fiction. But the reality is, I think many of us can perhaps relate. It's part of a human condition. It's part of our sin-soaked condition, if I'm honest, that we are very driven for justice. And in and of itself, obviously, that's not a problem. Justice is important. And justice, God is our justice. He is our just one. He is our just judge. So that justice is not a bad thing. But unfortunately, for many of us, our ideas of justice really revolve around self. And there are many people who live their lives bent on just revenge, on vengeance for either real or maybe just perceived injustice that they've suffered. And, you know, Eric points out in his book that God clearly says vengeance is his and he will repay. And so the challenge comes when we try to take those matters into our own hands. And so that brings us back to our out of context text. This eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Many people want to say that as an excuse, as a reason why it's okay to respond with severely to injustice. And so, but what we're going to see as we look through this passage in context, I hope, and as we look at some other verses, especially those when Jesus himself refers back to this passage in the New Testament, how he's trying to address this problem with it often being taken out of context. And so far from being a license to just retaliate in any way, the true intention behind this passage is found in the context of the passage. So if you look at all of where we are in Exodus right now, which is super important to do, you can see that it's the outlining of the law, right? And these laws are what God gave to Moses because the nation of Israel, because these Israelites were dealing with the day-to-day things of life and of living in a sin-stained world. And so what God was trying to do was to create these boundaries and guidelines. not prescriptively, not because he's saying, hey, when this happens, this is what you're supposed to do, but simply because of the sin that already existed and the issues that were already happening, he allowed for how those who would be governing could properly and justfully, is that a word, respond to these crimes. And so what's really happening here when we see eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot, burn for a burn, is really that God is in explaining the need for the punishment to fit the crime. I think we could all agree that there have been examples, heinous examples, of abuses of justice where someone receives a sentence or a punishment that far outweighs the depth of their crime. And again, one of the things that Eric uses in his book is that it would be an abuse of justice if someone was given 20 years in prison for going 10 miles over the speed limit. Now, again, we could get into all kinds of arguments, right? If that 10 miles over the speed limit led to an accident and that accident led to harm or a death, then certainly that penalty changes. But that's really what God is trying to outline here, is that the penalty should fit the crime, not exceed it, and perhaps not go under that either. And so, again, as we look in this passage, we'll see that he's addressing lots of issues related to violence that might happen. The verses just prior to these that we read are about what happens if a woman is injured because of the harm done by others, and that woman was pregnant, that unborn life, just as valuable as regular life, you know, that there is a punishment for that, and that punishment the court allows for should be commensurate with the crime. So, you know, it certainly shows God's care for life in the womb, but it's also, again, just these things that were happening, these things that were part of life, sadly, and so we're trying to create a justice system in which there is a right way to handle these things. But in this case, in the way that this text is so often misused, is in true context, again, these were governing laws, and those laws, right, are managed and meted out by those who are in authority, not the individual who was harmed. Do you see the difference there? So when we say eye for an eye, and in the context of, ooh, this was done to me, I'm going to do this back, that flies in the face of the actual context in which it was meant. It was actually meant from a law perspective, from a governing perspective, from a justice perspective, how those in authority could address these situations. But I think what's wonderful is we don't have to just guess or evaluate this ourselves. Jesus himself addresses this in the New Testament, because he says in Matthew, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." So this is a lot different of a way to look at an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth than what we see there in Exodus. And so what we see Jesus say is, listen, yes, that's the law, but I have a better way. And that better way is actually suggesting that we give up our rights, that we not seek this vengeance, that we not seek this retaliation, and ultimately that we leave justice to the court system, right? And that we're willing to forgive and turn the other cheek. And so, and not only so, that passage is so revolutionary, because not only does it say, you know, let them do what they're going to do, but even go a step further. If someone wants your cloak, give him your tunic, give him your cloak as well. I mean, that's radical, but that is exactly what God is wanting us to understand in these verses, that as we seek to be Christ-like, as we seek to follow him, vengeance is not a part of that path. Vengeance is God's, and vengeance is for the legal system that the Lord has allowed to be instituted and to take care of that. So if you have been wronged, and we all have, if you have been unjustly accused or maligned, if you have been actually physically harmed in some way, God sees you, and there will be justice. but it is not ours to take at our own time and in our own purposes. There's a way and there's a path forward. And I know it's not really specifically what this verse is about, but I think it's a valuable time to remind us all that forgiveness is so critical to a life of Christlikeness. We cannot harbor bitterness. We cannot harbor revenge in our hearts and seek to be full of the Spirit of Christ and of the fruits of the Spirit. And you know, we've heard it taught so many times, but bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, all of these things are a poison that we drink, and it harms us, not those who we hold those things against. And so my prayer for all of us today is that in those moments where our flesh rises up and wants an immediate retaliation, wants an immediate vengeance, that we won't seek to misuse scripture to assuage our consciences as we seek that revenge, but instead that we'll just surrender it. We'll surrender it over to a good God who is holy, who is just, who promises that he will handle all these things and that we can trust him with them. So I pray, friend, that whatever you're facing today, that you will lay it at the very loving and kind and generous and gracious feet of our Savior, and that you will walk in truth and love today. Be blessed.